I want to talk tonight on the subject, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight to describe what's happening in America. Sort of sad when the pastors do it. Looks like it'd say many drunkards have destroyed my vineyard. Looks like it'd say many backsliders have destroyed my vineyard. But how tragic it is when the pastors, who are supposed to be the ones to preserve the vineyard, destroy it. Bless us tonight, please. Amen. Not much has happened in the last few months, except there is a visible wall between certain ideologies in what we call fundamentalism that was once an invisible wall. Not much has happened. Everybody's on the same side they're on before. We just now know who's on which side. That's all that's changed. I mean, the folks that hate us hated us before. They just hate us more now. That's all. We hate them. But anyway, the only thing that's changed is that we're wearing uniforms now, so we know who's on what side. That's the only thing that's changed. And the great difference is soul winning. That's it. And our kind of preaching services. That's all. They just don't like our kind of preaching. That's all. They don't like the old barnstorming preaching. They want sissy preaching. And they don't like the old hollering, screaming, bellering, kicking, stomping, romping, barnstorming, hell-raising preaching. And so I'm simply saying that I am sorry that I am the fence, the object, or the catalyst. I don't know what that word means, but I saw it one time and I just thought I'd use it. One good thing about pastoring a church like this, if I learn a new word, I don't have to know what it means, because you don't know either. And the guys that hate us, they've always hated us. They never have agreed with us. There's been two camps in what we call fundamentalism. There's been the Baptist fundamentalism, and there's been the non-denominational fundamentalism. Now, sometimes the Baptist churches have been deceived by non-denominational preachers, and they have taken are pastoring Baptist churches, but they're not Baptist. They're the invisible church crowd and the universal church crowd and so forth. And they're the high church, high worship crowd. And but basically, what's happening is we have a different idea about what the church is supposed to be. To us, the church is a vineyard where we bring forth fruit. To them, a church is a forest preserve. To us, the church is a vineyard. To them, it's a group of shade trees or a flower garden. To us, it's a fruit-bearing place. A vineyard. Without turning to it, in Jeremiah 3:15, God said to his people, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." But something happened to those pastors, and I'm aware of the fact that a pastor in the Old Testament, the word pastor does not mean exactly the same as it means in the New, but God did choose to call the leader of each individual church with the title of pastor. So, something happened. And after in Jeremiah 3:15 it said, God said, "I will give you pastors." Then in Jeremiah 12:10 it says, "Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard." Now, the important thing was the fruit trees and the vineyards. The church is the vineyard. The church's job is to bring forth fruit. And the whole issue we have here is, what is the church? The church is not a place where a bunch of saints come on Sunday morning to worship the Lord. That's not what it is at all. There's not one single place in the entire Bible about a church worship service. I double dog dare you to tell me or show me one place in all the Bible about a public worship service. Your worship is supposed to be between you and your God on a personal basis, And the church is not a place where you come and have a highbrow, high church, liturgical kind of a worship service and light a few candles and sing a few high church songs. That's not the purpose of the church. The church is a vineyard. Now, for 42 years, I've watched pastors destroy vineyards across the country. I didn't say destroy churches because they take a vineyard and make it into a shade trees, some shade trees, or a forest preserve, or maybe a flower garden. Now, the truth is that if anybody should be spearheading soul winning and making the church into a vineyard, it ought to be the pastor of the church. But the tragedy is our churches have deteriorated from the pulpit toward the pew, not from the pew toward the pulpit. Listen, all across America, fundamental people are looking for what we have right here. Looking for. And by the way, that's one reason all these deadheads these reverends don't like us. Reverend's a Greek word, it means deadhead. That's one, they don't like us. Because their folks come and hear us preach and they like it better than they heard back home. And our hellfire and brimstone preaching and soul winning preaching that keeps them awake makes them a little jealous because they're exegeses. And look at me now. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you tonight. Listen to me. I'm saying that the tragedy is that the pastors have destroyed the vineyards, and the average church that has deteriorated because the pulpit led it to do so. And the pulpit led it to do so because the college where the pulpit attended led him to do so. They got a bunch of dead theologians in our Christian colleges, and I'm not talking about the liberals. I'm talking about where your kids are going, some of you. I'm talking about got a bunch of dead, dry theologians, never held a campaign, never saw a sawdust trail, never had a mourner's bench, and don't believe in mourner's benches, and don't believe in shouting, and don't believe in praising God openly, and don't believe in altar calls, and don't believe in saying amen in church. And they're training our boys and sending our boys up and down this land to dry up the churches of America and to change them from vineyards into flower gardens. Now, I've seen it happen. And I want to show you tonight progression. I've been around a while. I mean, I know, I've spanned parts of two generations. I've seen churches by the hundreds deteriorate from being vineyards. You know, they get to the place where they outgrow soul winning. Buster, you never outgrow God's Great Commission. You never do. I mean, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the Great Commission. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, what I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me down here on the front. Listen to me, even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to go soul winning? To the end of the world. How long are we supposed to have evangelism? To the end of the world. How long is Jesus supposed to give us power of God while we reach folks for Christ? Even to the end of the world. How long are our buses supposed to roll? Even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to reach these high school, public school pupils? Even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to reach these kids over here from the ghettos? Even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to reach these deaf folks back here? Even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to have the rescue mission? Even to the end of the world. How long are we supposed to knock on doors? Even to the end of the world. But what happens is this. A preacher gets to the place where he thinks he's outgrown soul winning. And what does he do? He gets a little group of people and stops his bus route and stops his soul winning program and gathers around the Word, and the Bible becomes a second-class mathematics book instead of a wonderful love story, and the church dies and deteriorates, and the pastor has destroyed the vineyard. No longer is there an altar call. No longer is the baptistry troubled every Sunday. No longer the sinners kneel at the altar. No longer do amens fill the building. No longer do folks walk down the aisle. And the pastor has gotten a little too dignified. He's gotten too dignified for God. That's his trouble. And brother, I spent my life for 42 years at this church trying to build a vineyard here, and I've gone around this country trying to get preachers to build vineyards around this country, and I'm not going to let people destroy those vineyards without a fuss from Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm not going to do it. All over America, people are dying for soul-winning churches. People are dying for churches that are informal and not staid and dried. Now, how have they deteriorated? In the first place, the first thing that comes is formalism. First thing that comes. I saw it creep in the Southern Baptist Convention. I seen it creep in our independent Baptist churches. I'm talking about a little at a time. That's one reason why this choir doesn't wear kimonos. Now I'm not against a church that wears robes. I'm simply saying it's on the first step toward formalism. And if we ever do put robes on the choir, we won't put them on the men. Can you imagine Parks up here in a robe? Now he'd take a blanket. a tent. Now I'm making too big an issue about this. But I'm saying somebody has got to stand up and say, independent Baptist, let's act like independent Baptists. You're not gonna have Billy Sunday with real results with Episcopalian methods. You're not gonna do it. And you listen, you put the sevenfold amen at the end of the prayer, and you put the amen with the choir and the Gloria Patri at the end of the prayer, and you put the choral response to the offertory, and I'll tell you one thing, you'll dry up any church in America. Formalism will destroy any church in America. The anthems, the sevenfold amens, the Gloria Patri, the chanting the Lord's Prayer, Sunday morning songs different from Sunday night songs. No amen, no altar call, no kneeling at the altar. But you say, people say, Brother Hiles, when I came here, a man came up, richest man, I guess, in this town. He came up and he said to me, he said, Reverend, he said, you have ruined our Sunday morning worship service. Now, here's a strange thing about that rascal, that man. He never came on Sunday night. He never darkened the door of the church on Sunday night. All he wanted to do was to come and pay God a little homage on Sunday morning. Brother, I said to our people then, and I'll say it now, if it's good for Sunday morning, it's good for Sunday night. And if it's good for Sunday morning, it's good for Wednesday night. I'm simply saying somebody ought to destroy the worship services across America and put a bunch of old-fashioned mourners' benches in our churches, and let's get on our knees and get the old-time religion and quit destroying the vineyard. Many pastors, the pastor, not the deacons, the pastor destroyed the vineyard. Not the members, the pastors destroyed the vineyards. That's one reason why at Howells Anderson College, we're just not going to pussyfoot. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. No way. I like that scripture mentioned a while ago, Proverbs 14:4, where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. You show me an executive that's busy, and I'll show you a dirty desk. You saw my desk, you think I was the world's outstanding executive. You show me a house that has children, I'll show you fingerprints on the walls. You show me a church that's a soul winning church, and I'll show you more dirty words than the songbooks than anywhere in the world. Write it down. Yeah. Bless God. Thank God we got more sinners here than anybody in the whole world does. That's the job of the New Testament church. It's our job. First Baptist Church leads the world in dirty words on restroom walls. First Baptist Church leads the world in stopped up commodes. Most any Sunday, at least one restroom here you could baptize in it. First Baptist Church in Hammond leads the world on wear and tear on the carpet. More things are stolen at First Baptist Church than any building in the whole world. Oh, these modern fundamentalists. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Amen. Won't you ditch that stuff for Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, we need old-fashioned Billy Sunday Christianity. Old-fashioned Sam Jones Christianity. Kind that our forefathers had. The country church, the Brush Arbor, the tent campaigns. I'm talking about something that's real. Hey, that little lady that was in the parking lot the other day. She met one of our, so our ladies mentioned a while ago. And she walked over and said, could I go to church with you and sit with you? She didn't know anybody here. She was looking for God. And she walked in this building and she sat here a few minutes and she looked over and said to that lady, she said, this is real, isn't it? Real. Of course it's real. That's why we have guys stood up one night back in the back, walked down that aisle right there, crowd bigger than this, called time out in the service. I said, man, what you doing? Policeman came down, apprehended him, and the guy had on a nice blue suit, good-looking man, middle-aged man, about 62. And the policeman said, what are you doing? He said, don't you think he speaks long enough? He kept calling time out. You're going to have that when you got a New Testament church. You're going to have that if you got a vineyard. I mean, the little fox is not going to go to the flower show. They want some grapes. They want the vineyard. They want some fruit. That's why we dedicated this building back yonder several years ago. Didn't have this part sticking out here. Didn't have the mezzanine. But dedicated this building. Had 9,000 people here that morning. The mayor of Hammond is sitting right down here. Mayor Ruskowski is sitting right down here. The chief of police right beside him. Little bus kid up there in the top row of the balcony decided to go in the airplane building business. I don't know how that little kid got in the building. Must be about 5 years old. Should have been somewhere else, but he got up there. I saw him walk up and right there where that Lord's Supper table is. I saw him lean over. He already had a DC-7 made. He threw it right down here and that airplane went like that. And everybody here went. You say, what in the world did you do? I went. What did the mayor do? He went. You say, how do you like that? I like the sinners. I like the fact there's a vineyard here. And if you're going to have oxen, you're going to have some bad stuff in the crib. If you want a clean crib, if you want a real good Sunday morning worship service with the lighting of the candles and the chanting of the Lord's Prayer, don't have any oxen. Oh, I'm simply saying, now, who started this? Listen, a bunch of carpenters didn't get together and say, let's have a liturgical service. A bunch of plumbers didn't get together and say, let's have a highbrow service. The pastors destroyed the vineyards with formalism. Now, what's the next thing that happens as the pastors destroy the vineyards? I'm not talking about they close churches. You may have as many folks coming as you ever had, but it's not a vineyard anymore. You're not reaping, you're not bringing forth fruit anymore. You're not winning souls anymore. And that's the job of the church. God didn't start the church. We could come here and have a highbrow church service. God started the church. We could come here and get strength and power and instruction to go out yonder in the field and tell people about the Savior and bring them back to this place. What it's all about. And I'll tell you what. I'm 62 years old. Everybody's fighting me anyway. I think I'll just go out fighting. I'm no longer going to keep my mouth shut about fundamental schools teaching our boys to have highbrow Episcopalian church services. If you're going to be a Catholic, go to a church that says Catholic. Don't go to one that says Baptist. And I'm no longer going to recommend a young person to go to a school where they don't have old-fashioned churches where they recommend the kids to go. I'm not going to do it anymore. You say what you want to say, do what you want to do. If I get you, I'll get mad at you. You get in line. You can't get to me yet. The whistle is blown. And the war has been declared. And the issue is the old-time religion. That's the issue. Listen, you go to the average church where the preacher is attacking me now, you go to the average church on a Sunday morning and you'd think you were in a Lutheran church. You say you criticize Lutheran churches? I guess so. I'm criticizing any church that lets the world go to hell without holding up the Savior. I'm criticizing any church that lets an area like this go to hell with illegitimate children everywhere and dope addicts and gangs and ghetto-bound people that nobody cares about. I'll die before I let those people go to hell without building a church here that will not destroy the vineyard that will bring forth fruit. Next thing we've done is we've changed our church organization. You know what we ought to do? Several things. First thing we ought to do is every evangelist on TV ought to go off. And take all the money they spend on those TV programs and build New Testament churches with them. I mean, listen, you got people padding the coffers of these guys that sit in churches that are about to go under financially. But the glamour of it, they want to send their money to the glamour place. You invest your money in an old-fashioned New Testament church where some man of God loves this book and loves the Savior and is trying to build a church that will reach a world for God and keep folks out of hell. That's where your money ought to go. Next thing we ought to do is have every committee in every church in America disband. You'd be shocked if you knew how these churches are organized. When I came here 30 years ago, you wouldn't believe what we had. We had 22 committees. Yeah, we had one committee that was not a committee, but it was a committee to take the place of any committee we needed to have we didn't know we needed to have. Now, what we ought to do is disband all the committees and everybody going to spend that same amount of time out soul winning. Disband the flower committee. Let some florists come, stick some petunias here on the table down here, and you take the same amount of time you've been having in the flower committee and have you a bus route. Go soul winning. Reach folks for God. That's what the church is all about. Listen to me. The pastors have destroyed the churches. And they've been trained by people that have never built churches and have no compassion. I've said this many times. My daddy was a neighborhood drunk. My daddy was a part-time bartender at a Hunt Saloon right across the street from Dallas Theological Seminary. For 8 years, my daddy was within stone, so I mean it. He was as close to Dallas Theological Seminary as we are to that apartment house across the street. For 8 years. And those young preachers in there learning how to be preachers, studying their Greek and their theology and their hermeneutics and apologetics and all the rest of it. And not one time in 8 years. Did anybody walk across the street and tell my old drunkard daddy about the Savior? Brother, that's not New Testament Christianity. We've destroyed the vineyards. Years ago, you old-timers heard me tell about this. 1957, I came to Chicago with Dr. John Rice, Dr. G.B. Vick, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. for round-robin Bible conferences. We had four different locations, the Northside Gospel Center, the Belden Avenue Baptist Church downtown, the First Baptist Church of Harvey, and the Oak Park Bible Church. Each of us would preach at one of those places and then rotate till all of us had preached in all four places. So happened that on Wednesday night I was in Belden Avenue Baptist Church downtown Chicago. Handful of people on Wednesday night. Nobody would give a holy grunt. I'd preach and nobody and folks were stunned. I finally walked out on the communion table. Preach from the communion table. Oh, you said, Brother Hiles, that's a holy table. Well, preaching is not really unholy. You're profaning the communion table. Preaching don't profane nothing. Oh, my soul. The building began to shake and tremble. The people were horrified, both of them. Right in the middle of my sermon. I mean, nobody had said anything but me. And it was dark. Boy, I hate dark churches. Turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. I love these lights. 74,246 lights in this room. $74,000 light bill a month, too. I love light. about way back in the balcony. Building seats about 1,000 people. Had a balcony all the way around like this. Not near as big, but a balcony all around. Way back in the dark at the balcony, alone. There wasn't anybody between me and him. I heard a fellow holler real loud. Amen! 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 I thought, oh my soul, the guy's cracked up back here in the back. And boy, he turned me loose, and I turned him on, and he turned me loose, and I turned him on, and he and I had a great time. After the service, after the folks had come by and shake my hand, Ms. Hiles was the one that came by. I don't know. Maybe she got mad that night. I'm not sure of it. I really have a doubt that she'd want me on the Lord's Supper table preaching. But nobody tells me. But anyway. I was standing there waiting for folks to come by and shake my hand. And here came this a guy walked up, and he had a tape recorder. He looked up and he said, Amen! 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 And I said, you the guy? Little, short, oriental fellow. Dark skin, slanted eyes. Looked up and sparkled, and tears rolled down those sparkling eyes. And he said, Mr. Hiles, or Reverend Hiles, he said, that's the kind of preacher we used to have here at Belden Avenue Baptist Church. He said, I'm custodian here. I've been custodian for many years. And then all of a sudden he got a faraway look in his eye, and he said, see the balcony up there? See all of that? He said, that's roped off every Sunday now. And he said, most of the lower floor is roped off. Maybe the center section, half the center section, not roped off. He looked at that building. He said, Reverend Hiles, he said, there was a day when this building was packed every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. He said, there was a day when these altars were filled with sinners. He said, exactly like you preach tonight is what we used to have here. Now, what happened to that church? They called some preacher that destroyed the vineyard. And it's happened all across America. He said, Brother Hiles, aren't you afraid that some preacher's going to hear your tape of this sermon tonight and get mad at you? If a preacher's going to hear this sermon tonight, they would get mad at me. He is already mad at me. I can't make anybody else mad. My friends are my friends, my enemies are my enemies, and I'm going to tell the truth, and that's the truth. The pastors have destroyed the vineyards. The pastors have made vineyards into flower shows and flower gardens and forest preserves and trees with no fruit. Well, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, most important thing in the world for a pastor to do is keep the orchard in good shape so the fruit will fall off the trees. After our formalism, and then our church organization has been used by pastors to destroy vineyards all across America. A third thing, hyper-Calvinism. I tell you another thing. You check the fellows that are writing articles about me and the fellow that wrote the article, and you will check and find what I'm talking about tonight is right down the line. Hyper-Calvinism. What is hyper-Calvinism? That's this garbage that says God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. My Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. And brother, if you go to hell, you won't be able to point a burning bloody finger out of hell and say, God, you didn't choose me. Jesus died for every single man on the face of the earth, and enough blood was shed on the cross to wash away the sins of everybody in the whole world. And this garbage of hyper-Calvinism that takes away evangelism, and the church is no longer a vineyard. Why? Because why bear fruit? Why preach? Why go soul winning? Why bus routes? If God's chosen some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, it's heresy. And it is destroying vineyards all across this nation. Then, what's the next thing that's causing our vineyards to be destroyed? The pastors are bringing in formalism. The pastors are bringing in high church organization. The pastors are bringing in hyper-Calvinism. And then the pastors are bringing in what they call a deeper life-ism. I'm talking about the Keswick conferences. I had a conference appointment this week with a pastor down in Warsaw, Indiana. Fine young man. Brought me a picture of Billy Sunday. That Billy Sunday gave to Homer Oldheaver and signed to Homer Oldheaver and brought me a nice picture. I asked him, I said, how about the Billy Sunday Tabernacle at Winona Lake? He said, they're going to tear it down. I preached for a week down there many years ago, every night for a week, Billy Sunday Tabernacle. You know why they're going to tear it down? Because they haven't got enough religion to fill it up. That great tabernacle where they used to have great Bible conferences, where Billy Sunday and others used to preach. It's about to go down now. You know why? Because we've got a bunch of deeper life people gathering around the Word when we ought to gather around the hungry. I'm not against the Bible. Love the Bible. But the Bible's not a book for you to just to study and feast on. The Bible is a book for you to use, to feed, to convict, and to convert. They criticize us, call us preachers of easy believism. They're anti-preaching. America needs preaching. Nothing wrong with America, a generation of old-fashioned preachers couldn't cure. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with America that a generation of Oliver B. Greens and Lester Roloffs couldn't cure. Nothing wrong. But you check these vineyard killers and check their crowd tonight. Check and see how many folks they have in church tonight. These vineyard killers. Why? Because they're not bringing forth any fruit, and consequently when the old folks die off, there's nobody left. You've got to have somebody to replenish the crowd. These folks that walk down the aisle and get saved at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, get baptized, and get right with God, they're the people who are going to be in charge of this church someday when you and I are in heaven. These pastors destroy the vineyard. Number five, I've seen it happen. I've seen it start off with formalism. I've seen it followed by improper church organization. I've seen it followed by hyper-Calvinism. I've seen it followed by deeper life-ism. And then worldliness. They go together. Lack of soul winning and lack of convictions and standards go together. You see, a person that doesn't love God enough to be separated doesn't love God enough to have a door slammed in his face. Same, they go together. When you love God enough to go soul winning, you love God enough to give up your cigarettes. When you love God enough to go soul winning, you love God enough to give up your liquor. When you love God enough to go soul winning, you love God enough to give up your rock music. And I'll guarantee you that the soul winning churches in America are the most separated churches in America. Our vineyards have been destroyed. Who's destroyed them? Pastors. And then our colleges. I've implied that already. I've watched a generation of Southern Baptists deteriorate. I've watched a generation of independent Baptists almost deteriorate. And brother, the vineyard places that were once, I can take you to church after church after church across this nation that was once a great tabernacle of soul winning. And I'm not just talking about the famous churches. I'm talking about in small towns and small cities across America. I can take you to buildings that used to be packed with 800 people that now don't have 75 people. What's happened? The pastors have destroyed the vineyards. There's no fruit anymore. Our colleges, stifling soul winning, criticizing soul winning, making fun of soul winners. That's one reason why we don't have a basketball, intercollegiate basketball at Hiles Anderson College. We're not going to have it either. We're not going to play Notre Dame in football. You say, why? Because the big 280-pound offensive tackle is not going to be the hero at Hiles Anderson College campus. The hero is going to be the best bus captain. Best soul winner. Mr. Highlander is not going to be the quarterback on the football team. He's going to be the driver on the bus. He's not going to be the captain of the basketball team. He's going to be captain of a Chicago bus route. And then the thing today that's destroying the vineyard more than anything else is Mr. John MacArthur's lifestyle evangelism. May as well say it. I've tiptoed and my shoes are worn out up in the front. I'm going to wear the heels out now. I'm going to quit tiptoeing. This lifestyle advances him against soul winning. It's destroying the vineyard. Mr. Hanford wrote an article in the Women's Joyful Woman magazine. And in that article, he made the statement. Okay. Anyway, he wrote an article in the Joyful Woman magazine. In that article, he said, "We're not all alike." Well, that's an interesting observation. He said, but one thing he said, "We're not alike." He said, "All of us don't like the same kind of soul winning." He said, "Some of us like to go out and knock on doors, and others of us prefer to have cottage prayer meetings." Now, the Bible didn't say go into all the world have a cottage prayer meeting. I'm simply saying this lifestyle evangelism stuff. Live so they'll ask you. Now, look. I've been preaching 42 years. I'm 62 years old. Nobody's ever walked up to me on the street and said, "Tell me how to be saved. I like your smile." No, the Bible plan is to house. That's God's plan. I've spent 42 years protecting vineyards across our land. And whatever years and strength I have, I plan to continue trying to protect those vineyards. You know why? Because there are a lot of little ladies, just like that lady that got out of that car over here in the parking lot, minus parking lot. They're looking for something. They're looking for God. And there need to be churches all across this nation that can tell them and are going out to tell them the wonderful story of Christ. How's that football team he talked about a while ago going to hear the gospel? The lifestyle of it. Can you imagine those girls out there? Now, we got a bunch of pretty girls that go soul winning. Can you imagine those girls going out there and in front of that football team and smiling? You think they'd stop practice and walked over and said, "Tell us how to get saved." Huh? If you've seen the girls that go over there, they'd stop practice. Because they're pretty girls. But they wouldn't. That's not the way. The way is God's way. God's way. Now listen to me. This church for years has been the pattern church for old-fashioned fundamentalism in America. And by cracky, it'll continue to be. And all across this land, we need soul-winning churches. And we need pastors that don't destroy the vineyards. We need pastors that fertilize the vineyards. We need pastors that prune the vines. We need pastors to be sure the vines bring forth more fruit than ever before. As I've said before, it's our job at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, every single person's job, to guard what we have here to keep this vineyard like it is. You walk in this church any Sunday morning or Sunday night in the year, and you'll find about the same thing, brother. You know why? Because the vineyard's in good shape. And the reason this church is alive tonight, after all the bombarding we've had from hell for 4 months, the reason we're still in existence, because we built a soul-winning church, and the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against that kind of a church. A vineyard. A vineyard! A vineyard! Now, it's up to you to see to it that we keep the vineyard here. It's up to me. All across this nation, I've given my life, much of it, to go across this nation trying to get preachers to become, build soul-winning churches and build vineyards where fruit can be harvested. People can be saved. And if we don't have it, this country's gone. I'll say it again. I've said it before, and I'll say it many times. The last vestige of old-fashioned hell, fire, and brimstone soul-winning and preaching is independent Baptist movement. Would you show me any other movement in America today that has old-fashioned preaching? Would you show me any other movement in America today that has old-fashioned standards and convictions? You won't find it. And that's why it's so important in these days that we take this blessed vineyard we have here and we keep it healthy. And that we bring in young men from across this nation like we have now, like we're going to have coming here in a few weeks. And we set these young men on fire for God and send them across this country to start vineyards and build vineyards and protect vineyards rather than destroying the very vineyards that we need in America to save our nation. When Abraham came to God, he prayed for Sodom. Lot was down in Sodom, and though Lot and Abraham had some strife and their herdmen had some strife, Lot still loved Abraham. Abraham still loved Lot, I mean. Abraham went to God and said, God, would you spare the city of Sodom if I could find 50 righteous people? And God said, I would. Abraham tried to find 50 righteous people, could not. He came back to God and said, God, would you spare the city of Sodom if I found 40 righteous people? God said, I will. Abraham tried to find 40 righteous people in Sodom. He couldn't. Went back to God and said, God, if I could find 30 righteous folks, would you spare Sodom? And God said, I would. Abraham couldn't find 30. He came to God and said, God, if I could find 20 righteous people, would you spare Sodom? God said, yes. He couldn't find 20. He came back and said, if I could find 10 righteous people, would you spare Sodom? And God said, I would. If there had been one soul-winning church in Sodom, Sodom would have been spared. I do not know what the number is for America. I do not know how many righteous people it would take to spare America. But I've given my life to trying to win folks to Christ and teach folks to win folks to Christ and teach preachers to build churches that win folks to Christ. So with the grace of God, we'd get enough folks to spare America. And I am as convinced that I am that I'm standing right here tonight at pastor's school at First Baptist Church of Hammond has saved this generation from destruction. Say what you want to say. Say, you're bragging. Okay, say it. Say it. Write and tell somebody what I just said. Send them the tape. Honk. Give a flip. Send them a tape. Spread it around. I'm simply saying that for 26 years, men of God have come here with the thousands from all over this nation. And they've covered this nation like a blanket and built great soul-winning churches. And I'm convinced that that has spared America. And brother, God didn't say it a lot. You find me 10 Keswick conferences and I'll spare America. He didn't say, find me 10 exegeted sermons and I'll spare Sodom. He said, you find me 10 righteous people. Now, there are two righteousnesses in the Bible. There's the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us when we're saved. That's salvation. Then there's the personal righteousness of holy living. And God said, if I can find 10 people who are born again and living holy lives, I'll spare Sodom. I'll guarantee you, God has a certain amount of people in America for which He'd save this nation. But the thing that's going to save us is a number of righteous people, the imputed righteousness of Christ, and holy living on the part of God's people. What is we're talking about? Salvation and separation. That's it. And that's what I've given my life to. And that's what I'll continue to give my life to. So those little boys and girls that come and hug me and say, I love you, preacher, will have a chance. I want this little boy over here and this little girl over here and this boy here and this boy here and this little boy here and this little girl here and this little one here and this one here. I want them to have a country that's free. And brother, if we don't expose these reverends who are destroying the vineyards, we're not going to have a free country. Vineyards are the hope of this country. Soul-winning churches, vineyards are the hope of this country. And by the grace of God, let's let the old First Baptist Church of Hammond withstand all the storms and the attacks and the lightning and thunder that can come and all the winds and tornadoes and hurricanes and storms that come. And let us withstand it. And let us say, by God's grace and God's mercy, we'll still have our pastor schools and we'll still have our youth conferences and we'll still have 2,008 young people serve their lives to full-time Christian service. And we'll still tell preachers across this country, you can build soul-winning churches. You can have standards. You can have convictions. You can have young boys that get haircuts. And you can have young girls that wear decent dresses. And you can have young people that are clean and pure. And you can have young folks that don't listen to rock music. By the grace of God Almighty, let's keep the old church like He's always been and influence this nation where vineyards shall be started and perpetuated rather than killed by pastors. Our Father, bless the message tonight. add a few years to the old church downtown.